Our topic this afternoon is sing a new song. Sing a new song. When we were with you last November, we talked about Psalm 100. And so it continued as we were thinking about coming back to Portland. We were refreshed by that memory of that discussion we had on Psalm 100, which talks about coming into his presence with singing. Psalm 100 verse 2. It says, come into his presence with singing. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Come into his presence with singing. And then we looked at, we looked at Psalm 96. And Psalm 96 is also along the same lines of singing. In Psalm 96, reading the first four verses, it says, sing to the Lord a new song. Hence the title, Sing a New Song. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name. Proclaim good tidings of his salvation from day to day. Tell of his glory among the nations, his wonderful deeds among all the peoples. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. So that, again, gives us a sense of singing a new song. But beyond just singing a new song, I think we get from this context in Psalm 96 why that song was necessary. It was about God and what God has done and what God will do. And so we're singing about something. In essence, the idea of singing is tied to a sense of joy that you have. You have to have something to sing about. There's a popular saying, when something is really underwhelming, you say that's nothing to sing about or that's nothing to shout about. That's something we say. When something is really amazing, obviously that should be something we sing about. And so to sing a new song would assume that we have a reason to sing a new song. So Psalm 100 and Psalm 96 surely gives us a sense and a reason for why we should sing a new song. But note that the expectation is not just us. It's all the earth. It's all the earth that will have something to sing about. Now, we know that. We know what we know today is that in time, the whole world will have a reason to sing a new song. Now, if you remember in Exodus 15, what do you recall happened at Exodus 15? We just crossed the Red Sea, right? And they looked back. The nation of Israel looked back. And what did they see? The destruction of the Egyptian oppressors that were chasing after them. But they had just crossed the Red Sea. It was miraculous. That was an impossible feat. Remember, they came to the Red Sea. It was difficult, and they thought they were all going to die right there. And then miraculously, they crossed the Red Sea. Not only did they cross, their oppressor was left behind and actually destroyed. So one is they crossed out of the land of bondage. Two is their oppressors were killed. They had a reason to sing. So they turn around, and that chapter starts with, we're not going to read a whole lot of scriptures because of time, but that chapter starts by saying that Moses sang a song. Well, in fact, I think it was Miriam that sang a song. So if you read that, if you read in verses 19 to 21 in Exodus 15, it talks about Miriam singing a song with all the women. The women would care to sing because they usually are the ones that care about the community the most. The men want to fight, usually, to save the community. The women are more appreciative that their men and their sons were not going to war to save them. And yeah, God has done that for them. So they had a reason to sing. So we see in Exodus 15, 19, says, for the horses of Pharaoh with his chariots and his horsemen went into the sea, and the Lord brought back the waters of the sea on them. But the sons of Israel walked on dry land through the midst of the sea. And Miriam, the prophetess, Aaron's sister, took the timbrel in her hand, and all the women went out after her with timbrels and with dancing. And Miriam answered them, sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted, the horse and his rider he has hurled into the sea. She had a reason to sing. The entire nation had a reason to sing. This was called the Song of Moses. Now, because it's called the Song of Moses, it's very curious when you go to Revelation. In Revelation 15, we find that same nomenclature, we find that same labeling about the Song of Moses. And so it got us very curious. If you remember the context, in Revelation 15, he talks about this event where in verse 2 he says, I saw, and it were a sea of glass mixed with fire. And those who had come off victorious from the beast and from his image and from the number of his name, standing on the sea of glass, holding harps of God, they sang the song of Moses, the bondservant of God, and the song of the Lamb, all saying, great and marvelous are thy works, O Lord God, the Almighty. Righteous and true are thy ways, thou King of the nations. So these had a song, and we're told it was like the song of Moses. So obviously it was a song they sang because they had been freed, or they were victorious over something. They had come through a process that caused them to want to sing. And as a result, they had this song that was called the Song of Moses, a victory song. Now, I don't know about you, but I would have imagined that that context could have done without the phrasing, the Song of Moses. It could have just been the Song of the Lamb, and we would still get the story. But I think the writer here was trying to connect us to a very profound moment of salvation, such that we would make that same connection here. It was a victory song. It was a song of Moses that would relate us to that profound moment that the Israelites had at the crossing of the Red Sea. Now, we think it could have been, what do I know? We could have had that verse in chapter 15 without the labeling of Song of Moses. Because if you go to chapter 14, we're told of a new song in Revelation 14. Revelation 14, reading from verse 1, says, I'm sorry that I'm rushing. I could feel myself rushing already. It says, and I looked, and behold, the Lamb was standing on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his name and the name of his Father written on their foreheads. And I heard a voice from the heaven, like the sound of many waters, like the sound of a loud thunder. And the voice which I heard was like the sound of harpists playing their harps. And they sang a new song before the throne and before the four living creatures and the elders. And no one could learn, and this is really critical, no one could learn that song except the 144,000 who had been purchased from the earth. These are the ones who have not been defiled with women, for they have kept themselves chaste. These are the ones who follow the Lamb wherever he goes. These have been purchased from among men as firstfruits of God and to the Lamb. And no lie was found in their mouths. They are blameless. Now we could see why that 144,000 had a new song. They sang a new song. They had just come through victorious, and so they had a new song. Now, we always do something during Memorial. At the end of Memorial, what do? We sing a hymn, and then we walk, right? Because that's what happened in Matthew 26:30. They sang a hymn. But that group that sang that hymn did not fully understand what they were singing, because there will come a time when they will sing that hymn again. And Paul, in his wisdom, Paul writes to us in Ephesians 5, Ephesians 5:19. Paul writes to us to do what? I was hoping you'd participate to help me through this. Paul writes to us to speak in psalms and hymns. It's the same word, the same hymn, in Matthew 26:30, that Paul says we should communicate in. We should have the spiritual song we should be singing, making melody in our hearts. In other words, the core, our heart is the core center of our new creation. We should be making melody, we should be singing in our hearts. In Colossians, and I want to read Colossians because I think the same sentiments are in Colossians. Paul repeats the same sentiments in Colossians chapter 3. So that was Ephesians 5:19 for those taking notes. And then in Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. Colossians 3:16 says, Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns, the same word again, and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. We're to sing with grace in our hearts, with delight, with thankfulness. And what are we singing? That word sing is Strong's 103. It has a meaning of a lyrical, emotional outburst. In other words, it's a communication of what's in your heart. That's what that song is. It's the kind of communication you would have when something good happens to you. When something good happens to you, you sing a new song. And so, brethren, we have a reason to sing. I really appreciate it, Brother Todd's presentation of being drawn by the Father. We know enough to sing, and Peter says it best, having known all of these things, what manner of man ought you be? We should have a new song. We should sing a new song. We should make the truth fresh in our hearts every day, such that we don't have to ask that question, what's water, right? We should always be ready to make that melody in our hearts. We should be able to always give defense for the faith that's the hope that's in us.